Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Afrobonta Beats. I know I haven't done an episode in a while, but you know, when there's something amazing in the air and when there's something as great as what we're going to discuss today, you know, you always have to come out of hiding and make sure that you advertise it and market it to your listeners and whatnot. And so today I have the pleasure of being joined by Toyin Orris, as well as Bless Climax, who are both two amazing Nigerian artists, and they have put together a project that I think is worth your time to listen to, especially for those who are huge rap fans, but from the perspective and the sound of Nigerians. And so really happy to have Bless and Toyin on the podcast today. Toyin, how are you doing down there in Lagos? How is life going?
Life is going good, man. Life is going good. Lagos is as busy as usual. I like to tell people from the States, Lagos is like New York. New York, San Francisco, and Atlanta all put together. If that's the best way I describe it. So it's always like on go. It's always busy. But yeah, but minus that though, Lagos is good. Life is good. Life is moving.
I'm glad to hear that. And Bless, you're joining us from Canada. Do you mind telling us where in Canada? I'm not sure if it's Toronto where they have that weird accent or somewhere else. But how is life in the Anglo Francophone North American country of ours?
Apparently, I'm in Brampton, you know, close to Toronto. But you know, it's calm. It's just, you know, freeing my mind, having the time to, you know, think like he said. Lagos is hectic, you know, so once in a while you need to get out of the space for a bit and just try to clear your head and see like the different side of life, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm blessed to be here and I've been able to do what I do from here still, you know, with everything going on. It's just, you know, it's fun and, you know, it's good still.
If somebody were to approach you and say, you know, who are you? Whether it's an artist, as a person, like, what would you all, like, what would be the answer to that of who is Toyin and who is Bless? You know, if Toyin, if you could start with that sort of, if I came up to you and said, who are you? What do you describe yourself as? What would be the answer to that?
I feel the best way to describe myself is I am an all-around creative with music being my main focus. But at the same time, I identify myself as just an all-around creative. You know, I dabble in everything creativity and also just a huge fan of music itself.
All right. A creative who's also a fan of music.
Yeah.
And Bless, how would you describe yourself?
To be honest, I would just say I'm a child of God.
By the way, folks, we're recording this on a Sunday, so maybe Bless is getting the Holy Spirit. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead, Bless.
That's the first thing for me, child of God. And I would not really say I'm a creative or, you know, I try to enjoy whatever I do, and apparently I enjoy making music. So, you know, like, yeah, I create music, but you know, I just if I don't enjoy it, then I probably wouldn't do it, you know. So I like to enjoy myself. So I'm a child of God and someone who likes to enjoy himself in whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? I could work a 9-to-5 job if I'm enjoying it, it's calm. You know, I could do whatever if I'm enjoying it, it's calm. But right now I'm the energy of enjoying, or I'm feeling the energy of just enjoying the process of making music, or you know, creating nothing after something, you know, be it like painting or drawing or like trying to make like a shirt or like a shoe or whatever it is, you know, I'm enjoying the process of making whatever it is I'm making, and the process what is what was made that, you know, that happens to have this conversation going on is the music part. So yeah, you know, I'm like what I said, I create music too and I enjoy it. So yeah, but the most important thing, child of God.
Amen to that. Amen to that, Bless. And, you know, it's so fascinating, you know, the way in which at first you kind of start off talking about how, you know, you don't really view yourself as much of a creative, but you talk about sort of like your goal is, as being a child of God, sort of your goal is always to enjoy this life, right? And all that comes with it. But it's so fascinating that the way in which you are going to enjoy, that you want to enjoy life, is through sort of these different creative outlets and creative mechanisms. And so in a lot of ways, you are creative in the way in which you describe yourself and seems the way in which you live your life. And with that, talking about creativity, you all just released this really, really amazing project, which, you know, I have to start with, you know, when I listen to rap music, I usually listen to like old school. I listen to like Nas. Like, so anytime Nas releases any sort of project, I'm listening to it, you know. I sort of tend not to listen to too much sort of new school rap music, if you will. And if I do, I'm thinking of the likes of Dave, sort of in the UK. I really love sort of that sound that's coming out of there. And so when you all released this project, Antonio, you reached out to me, I started listening to it. And at first, when I listened to it, I thought I was in Atlanta. That's what I was thinking, that first song. I was like, no, we're not in Lagos no more. This is Atlanta. I'm hearing sort of those, you know, resemblance of trap music. But then I go to the next song, Concentrate, and I'm like, oh, that's not Atlanta no more. I'm getting the Mundums, you know, the UK, and I'm getting that Afro swing, that Dave almost reminded of, you know, his album Psychodrama, sort of that's the mindset that I was in. And, you know, listening to this EP, you know, you hear a lot of, you hear some melodic rap aspects to it, but you just also hear some just straight up sort of rap flows and whatnot. What was you all's mindset heading into this project of sort of like what sound you were looking to make? Or did you even think about whether it's trap, whether it's Afro swing, or you just was just like, whatever works, we're just going to put it together? So if any of you two could take that question of like, what was the mindset of going in with this project?
Right. I feel like I'll go first. I mean, well, first and foremost, the first thing that we wanted to achieve was basically just fun. That was like the first, you know, thing we wanted to, like, that was like the main goal from this project. Cause like, you know, I told you before, like, you know, me and Bless, like, we like, you know, grew up together, and, you know, and like making this EP was almost kind of like a discussion we had, like when we first, like, you know, like when we first found out how to make music or like record ourselves, you know, since like we were kids. And so one of the first things that, like, you know, and like, you know, years later, you know, here from college, I'm in Nigeria, you know, the first things that we were like, you know, like, we were like, let's actually, you know, get back into, you know, like, you know, like, just like make music, like just like create, there's no end goal, just create something, at least, you know, and in that process, you know, it birthed, like, you know, like this EP. And so like the first thing definitely was like, you know, fun. Then the second thing was now like, kind of like, let's bring together all the influences that we have, like, over the years. I'll say, like, for me, like, you know, like, me going to school in the States, you know, like, that kind of, like, that's how I get my influence, like, in my sound and stuff like that. Bless being, like, a huge UK music fan, like, by UK rap, I would say is Bless. Like, I don't know if he would, like, you know, say, like, anything different, but as far as, as far as that genre of sound goes, it's all Bless. So, like, you know, like, so just mixing those in together, like, you know, just kind of like birth, like, different, like, you know, flavors. And of course, like, us being from Nigeria, you know, like, we have so many like influences here in Nigeria as well. So, like, you know, like, so we just wanted, like, there's something like, you know, like, this, like, encompass, like, all the sounds that we find ourselves, you know, in, all the sounds that we enjoy listening to, all the sounds that have influenced our kind of music as well, all in one, like, all in one project.
Yeah. And Bless, what would you say sort of was your frame of mind heading into this project?
Definitely, like I said, fun. Like I said earlier, I'm not really having fun with it. I know we really don't. Yes, I don't really want it. I'm not having fun with it, you know? And so Irawa means star, right? So from the stars. Everything comes from up down, right? So like looking up from the stars, looking down. We pick different influences from different cultures. Like if you listen to the full project, this is not the full project, right? This is a part. Now,
a powerful project.
It's the other side of the project. That by the grace of God, you know, next year, whenever the energy is right, that will come out. When you hear influences from other parts of music, like Latino music, you know what I'm saying? Like, you hear some reggae dancehall vibe in it, you know what I'm saying? So what we did was, what I was thinking about was, where do you actually get all your inspiration for music from, right? Like he said, I've been in love with the UK since Chip was Chipmunk. You know what I'm saying? You know about Chip? When he was younger, like 14, 15, his name was Chipmunk. So like he was my best Skepta, obviously, because Skepta is Nigerian, so he could relate to him personally. But you see, Chip just blew my mind how a 15 years old boy was working, was, you know, going hard against like the 20s, the 30s, you know, serious grown man. And he never really missed, like for me, never really missed. I was amazed with like the rhythm, the, you know. At that time it was Gary, then it was, you know, then before Drew came in, you know what I'm saying? So like, how would you just go on that type of beat? So I've always been influenced by rap, Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, all of that, 100%, BB, yeah. But like, for me, there's just something about the UK music that just stood out to me. Mm-hmm. It was like the tempo, the speed, like, you know, like the words, how they use the words, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just really got me. So I've been in love with that UK sound from ever. So it's normal for that to be in the music for me, right? Mm-hmm. Because I like to express myself in like my full capacity, right? He went to school in the States, Penn State to be precise. So you could hear Penn State vibe in the music. Mm-hmm. Then we grew up in Irawa. Now, Irawa is not a it's not a shining place. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
definitely not Penn State for sure.
This is the North. Like, if you go there till now, and we were there, like, how old were we? We're like 6, 7, 8. Like, you know, so imagine like almost 20 years back or 15 years back, how a place that is still muddy right now would look like then. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like the influence of like how things were just messed up, how we're really trying and hoping that, you know, we could move from the music. I mean, when we're like 15 or like so 16, we give our music to Kenny's music, we try getting signed to Kenny's music. So to show you how we're still desperate, you know.
Oh man.
You know what I'm saying? And yeah, like all them things just led up to this time, because I wish we were able to put out the full project. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that way people would understand more. You know what I'm saying? But like we just had to dumb it down for them a bit, because attention span these days is, you know, it's not really, yeah, it's
very small.
So the whole project, you know, let's give them a little by little. But yeah, the whole point is the influence from the music is just life in general, like all the things I hear, all the things I see, you know, all the things I feel. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to be from a certain country to understand a little bit about that country or to get inspired by their productivity or their sound or their culture. You know what I'm saying? Like the world is now in Europe. Basically, we're here, different countries, we're here right now, you know what I'm saying? So the world is just here. If you're really interested, you could do your research and find out, and, you know, be inspired by life. Mm. That's it for me.
So I know you talked a little bit about, you know, life in an hour where sort of there's a hustle mentality, I guess, if you will, and how you both are still carrying that in your creative work. Could you just explain to, like, you know, I don't know it all. I've never even been to Lagos or Nigeria, but, you know, when I do come, I think I might have to ask for a little tour. You know, a person who's not familiar with that context of growing up in Lagos, but then having sort of a much sort of microcosm experience of Lagos being in and out. What would you say were the things that, like, you look back at, you know, regardless of the hardships and whatnot, that you're just like, those are some fond memories. Like, those memories have come to define who I am, both as a person and artist. You know, what would be those memories or those lived experiences now would you point to and be able to tell our listeners about?
I would really say the church, man. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it played a big role.
Yeah.
Everything for me growing up, because like I used to be in the choir and I couldn't sing to save my life. But But you know, I wasn't still. I'm just trying to understand like how to compose music. You know what I'm saying? Like I wasn't really there about the singing or about, I just wanted to understand how even if it's not an original song, but how do you start singing? Then the person playing bass knows when to come in, and the person playing the keys knows when to come in, and the violin knows when to come in. You know what I'm saying? And they all come in, and it's not sounding like what the hell is this? It sounds like whoa. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't understand it, and I wanted to understand it. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, at that time I was more closer with God, you know. And yeah, I was really just saying church, right? You know, for me, I was really, it might be a little bit funny because, huh? Bless church, like this, but like this, you know? And yeah, I really, for me, I'll just say church, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And the rest, to be honest, yeah. Like, I think he really inspired me more than he even knows because, like, I think we were just in his house one time, we were really young. So, yeah, I can't remember. But he just found something. What's that pocket game that he found? On your laptop, one way or the other.
Audacity.
Yeah.
And we recorded one. The song was rubbish, man. It was rubbish. But you see, at that time, oh my.
We thought it was the wildest thing. We thought it was like, we thought we made like a grimy hit. We're like, no, this song's good. And like, like we're even saying words. There were no actual words. It was just all gibberish. But we were really like convinced. Oh no, we made a hit song. Just recording on like a concert. We were really convinced.
We made a hit song. And they got to play in Killer in his school, and apparently like
back in high school.
You know what I'm saying? So like, he doesn't really understand. Okay, I think he just needs to learn some more and just like understand this thing. Well, you see, for the vibe and for the flow and for the, you know, the thing, you have it, right? But you need sense.
For us, like Irawa was really just like, like Bless said, like, you know, it was just like a really underdeveloped, like town, but like, you know, but pretty small, black community, everybody knew each other type, you know, like people knew your, like families knew each other, families knew families from way back. So families came there because of some families were there. And the church, if you look at the EP cover art, you notice that there's like a church there somewhere in the middle. So the Catholic church was just like almost like a meeting ground for like all like the kids at that time. Like anybody who was anybody who knew anybody, if you had like a house party somewhere and you went into that site, like what was the one place where you could find all the youth in like your own? It was literally at the Catholic church. And for me, the Catholic church was on my street, literally at the beginning like, of my street where like my house was. So I could literally just walk out the house. I'm seeing all the kids in the neighborhood, you know what I mean? Just like on my street type stuff. Like, so like for us, like Irawa was just like, I feel like just that, like ease of like, oh, I can find out who this person is or I can know who you are by just going to one place. And Irawa, like, was, I feel like that was kind of like what, like, just like really, like, kind of gave life to the area. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I would say, that definitely gave life to the area, like, in general, in my opinion. And, like, bringing it back to the music, like, you know, everybody in Irawa too was kind of like somehow involved in some type of creativity in one way or another. Like we had like people that were like, you know, dancers, people that were like, you know, just like artists, people that were like, you know, stylists. Like till today, a lot of our close creative friends literally all came from Irawa. Like all the stylists, you know, all the illustrators, all the music, all sense of creativity that we experienced in general all came from the Catholic Church, stemming into the world as we are now, like from that one place. I feel like that's definitely one thing I can definitely say about Urawa that's like, you know, that definitely has stuck with us, you know, even like, you know, even years later after, like, you know, even being like out of the place, like all the kids that all grew up there, people still go back different time and time, people still live there and there, but like everyone always like, you know, like I would say like everyone that is doing anything right now, like from that one, from Irawa, from the Catholic Church, from that one street, It's literally because whatever ideas they had were birthed from that, from that place. Like, you know what I mean? And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why was creativity such a huge component of sort of growing up in and out? Were there any sort of micro or macro, you know, realities that were causing for you all to gravitate towards creativity? Because I mean, that is not a true story for every community, right? Not every community have a lot of the kids gravitate towards creativity. Some might gravitate towards other, you know, things in life and whatnot. But what do you all think sort of contributed to that, that attraction to creativity amongst sort of the youth and kids you all grew up with?
Right. I feel like, I mean, speaking from my point of view, like I don't know if Bless can relate to this, but I feel like for me, how I grew up in like, you know, like education was priority in the family. It was either you were going to be like an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer or kind of things, right? So I feel like as one of the youngest, as the youngest child in the family, you know, you've kind of like seen like, all right, cool, you're doing that, we're doing this. I want to go try this out. Like, you know what I mean? So like, I feel like we had a lot of kids like that. So as well, like, they were like the younger ones in their families, and everybody had already done like everything else. So it's like, I'm not trying to do what he's doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like, I'm trying to like do like, and like for me, my biggest pet peeve for me was like, oh, why can't you be like your older brother? It's like, man, he's an engineer. That's boring. Like, I'm trying to be, you know what I mean?
My older brother is an engineer as well, actually, funny enough.
No offense to all the engineers out there.
Shout out to
them. Yeah, shout out to them for real. But yeah, like, you know, like, I feel like it was really just like that. But then again, so like, I feel like coming up for us, like, there were a lot of, like, I feel like one of the first things for us was that, like, we didn't think it was possible for people our age to achieve such things. You know, not until like we, like, you know, like them, like, I remember, what was their name? By LOS, I don't know if I remember this group. Like, by LOS was really like, you know, like this little group of like high schoolers from Nigeria, right? Where like they had a song that like got really big, blew up on the radio, blew up like everywhere, like really huge song. So it almost kind of like inspired people like, yo, if these high schoolers like me can do this, why can't I do it?
I wanted to understand, sir, when we here in the States, you know, when we're looking at sort of rap music and hip hop industry, it hasn't been a great year for rap. It just has not at all. Sales are down. They haven't charted as high as they normally do, at least to the degree and magnitude that they normally do in the past. So to us here in the U.S., we almost look at rap as that's almost a dying genre in a way, at least in terms of on the business front. And its ability to chart. So I know you both, obviously rap has been a huge part of your life and a huge part of sort of your artistic career. But I wanted to know, did you guys think about this when you were going into it? Or is there something that's happening in Nigeria that's different than what's going on in the US with regards to how people are receiving rap music? I mean, I think of artists like Odumuna Black and Black Bones, who are two Nigerian, you know, who are just going in within sort of that rap genre and really embracing it, and you see that they're having quite a lot of success with it. And so would you say that there's a disconnect in terms of how audiences are receiving rap within the US versus Nigeria, and did that play a role into sort of you all choosing to go full force with a rap project, even though that's historically what you both have done artistically speaking?
So for we in Nigeria, right, first things first, for Afro, right? Everybody's claiming Afro this, Afro that. At the end of the day, once you're black, once you're a black man, you're Afro, man. Believe it or not. So, Odumuna Black, Black Bones, YP, a lot of dope rappers, right? They understood the fact that, one, I'm Afro. So if I can add my Afro into the rap, it's gone. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, so everyone is saying, oh, they're trying to dumb it down and do Afro beats. What? Like, these niggas, this man, them are still rapping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But they just realized that I don't need to, let's say, I'm doing Afro beats. It's who I am. I'm Afro, so I can just add a little bit of the Afro style in it, and people are gonna love it. Which what you see on the mode, you see this rap, you see the slangs you use. Those are Afro slangs. Those are African Nigerian slangs. You know what I'm saying? So like, people could connect to it. And one thing he got, if you listen to his style, you can see a lot of Skepta in it. Because Skepta will break it down to the level where a kid who is in probably like year one would understand exactly what he's talking about. He's not gonna give you some, oh my God, you have to sit down and think about it. Once you're listening to it, you're getting the punchline immediately, and he's breaking it down to the level where you can understand it without having to think about it. Now, in America, the big industries and the big companies, rather, the big companies control how you guys market move, right? So back in the 90s, right, back in the day, the reason why they accept the rap and they push rap so hard was because the frequency of rap was on the level where, but the frequency has changed. No one's really trying to be in a gang and sing. Everyone wants to be on a Wizkid vibe, on a Davido vibe, on a Bono vibe. Everyone wants to chill. So now, if you know how to make your rap music in a way where you can be chill, like, it's time. Like, this happened. You know what I'm saying? At the point, you know, rap was the biggest thing ever. At some point, you know, something else was bigger. At some point, rap was the biggest. It's going to switch. It's going to come back again. You know what I mean? Like, if you see Sexy Red, she's probably one of the biggest rappers right now when it comes to having commercial success. Why? Because look at what she's rapping about. So they're going to push that because they're trying to sell or market as a product. So, sorry, not sorry. It's just what it is. You know, right. If you're not ready to make yourself and adjust into it, why do you think Drake will never fall? Because he has understood that, okay, oh, this is what's popping. All right, cool. Let's go and evolve and, you know, pop in that sector while still rapping. So he will sing once or twice, but he's still going to rap. You know what I'm saying? So like, if you have Lambo's new album, you hear a lot of melodic rap, you hear a lot of him singing, but he's still rapping.
Right.
So no one should be stuck. Once you're stuck in that bubble of, yeah, he has to be, and you know, you're not ready to evolve. So like, whoever that's ready to evolve actually makes that money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Drake is still topping the charts, and he's a rapper. So rap music is not top in the charts, but Drake is still top in the charts. Why? Because he's still a rapper. So, you know what I'm saying? He just knows how to evolve. You know what I'm saying? Check everyone. Check J. Cole. You know, check everyone that knows how to evolve. They still remain relevant. And, you know, even if the whole culture is not there, but some people representing the culture are still there. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's how I see it. That's why.
Yeah, thank you for that breakdown. And I think it is interesting, sort of what is the localization or the contextualization that's added within sort of a Nigerian from Nigeria, sort of doing hip hop music and being able to add that local touch to it, and how that helps sort of that local audience even be attracted to that kind of sound. What is the one thing that you all want listeners to pick or get out of this project from Eat Album when they're listening to it?
Feel the energy that we're trying to like portray. Hear the motivation, hear the hunger, you know, the music. Because I feel like, and also like I feel like one of like the major things as well too that we really wanted to like really put on this project was really just like emphasizing where we are from. Like, this is where we are from. This is our, you know, this is our story. Like 100 million is really just. Like 100 million, I feel like I can never 100 million. Baby Boy Flip, I feel to me, is kind of like the perfect summary of this project of like, you know, of just where it's like, it doesn't matter what is happening, what is slowing you down, what is, you know, pushing you forward, what is holding you back. You have to keep going, you know, you have to keep, you know, like, you have to make sure that you aim for success in whatever it is that you're doing, be it music, be it just a regular job, 9 to 5, success is the most.
I'll just say, man, just dance with the stars, man.
Yeah.
That's what it's all. Have fun.
Like, just, if you know Philan, there's no problem. Not everybody should feel it. Like, if everyone's feeling it, then I'll have a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? Because some people have to not like it. But it's not okay, yes, it still touches some nerves, you know what I'm saying? And that's good. It's good to know that you can still touch some nerves or some people who they actually like it, but they're not gonna act like they don't like it. And it's cool. Well,
and you know, thank you both for that. And you know, before this interview, I had sent the project to some of my friends and said, you know, let me know what your thoughts are, or sort of what is the one track that really stands out for you? And I constantly got this one track, and that was Pimpin'.
Hey.
And I think I know one of the reasons why, because, you know, first of all, at the beginning, there's sort of a spoken word flow that's happening at the beginning. And that to me, sort of the incorporation of that was so powerful to have within that song that I just kept going back, just replaying it. I mean, it was almost, I want to go back to Pimpin'. And what were you guys sort of, when you all were creating that track, Pimpin'? You know, did you guys going into it be like, oh, we're going to do a spoken word at the beginning, or just vibe, let's just see what happens and let's go with the flow? What were you guys' thought process when making this specific track?
Can I start?
Oh, man.
Do you mind if I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
So first is first, like, RIP to my brother, beat by Jay, you know.
Yeah, too.
And that's my brother, you know. That's
Sorry to hear that. Rest in peace. Yeah.
That's fine. It's cool. That guy's a genius.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. That guy is a genius, I swear, because I think we already made Pimpin'. We already made a version of Pimpin', right? And he was like, it's cool, but like, what if you do this here and you do this here? Because you see that way to Rilla, this getting bigger, stepped in. That new boy Jigga, Beast One Filler, Anita Benita, new dealer name, Tommy, you figure. So it wasn't there at first. It was just one song. You know? Mm-hmm. And he heard it and was like, I really like this part. Like, why not just bring it to like the beginning part?
Bring it forward, yeah.
The song then he goes in with, you must respect me. And yeah, I know that was what in there. I'm a big one. If I see him, I jump into the, you know, the verse.
Yeah, buy into the verse.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, we didn't, that was not me. That was,
yeah. Which is actually crazy too, because like, sorry to cut you off, but my hook only came in one time in the original version of the song. But it was Jay that was like, I have to hear that again. It can't just be like the one time. It was like, they were like, Jay, he really like, that's pretty much, he basically like heard the song. I like, it was like, this is a great track, but I wouldn't call it a song. Like, you know what I mean? So like, the way like Drake, I said Drake, the way Jay helped us like to like, you know, like, to, like, you know, like just like arrange the record and like itself was honestly like that's it. My man's a genius. Like, he saw something that we didn't even realize. We didn't even think we gave an arranged song back the way we did. Yeah. And so so to now hear people like be like, no, there's something about how it starts and comes in. So it's just like, oh wow, like okay, no. Jay definitely saw something that we didn't see. Like, you know what I mean? So it's definitely nice to hear that. It's definitely nice to hear that, for sure.
That's right. For me, I would say, because the whole project was done a long time ago, very long time ago. Mm-hmm. So like, after Jay touched that one song, we started just like, we had the understanding now of, okay, like, this is how it should be. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just get a bigger picture and just, you see it properly there, because now you hear it, because when he was saying it, I was like,
like, you know what I mean? Like, bro, the song is done. What are you talking about? Like, it's done.
It was good. Like, I felt like the song was done. It was like, yeah, but bless, trust me, just, you know, do this and do this. And I'm like, I bet, man, like, you're my boss. And he's also my boss. So, yeah, or else, do what the boss is saying.
Yeah.
Just did it. And I was like, oh, whoa, okay, all right. Bless, you need to shut up sometimes. Just listen. Like, this is good. So we're able to use that idea of like how the song and all the songs should start, finish, and you know, how the book should be like, and even Baby Boy Flip. So for Baby Boy Flip, like, there was just one chorus.
Yeah.
Then after we heard the thing, we had to split and put the chorus here, put the chorus here, because like it felt better and we're feeling it more better than just how it was before mm-hmm. the chorus. And you know, yeah. And big shout out to Chaos Man, like he's heavy.
Yeah.
He was the only person featured on the whole tape. I was going to take him out. But I was like,
oh, man. I think you did the right thing by keeping him in there.
Something is good, it's good. Like, I don't need to have a relationship with you. I don't need to like you. You don't need to like me. But if it's good, it's good. If it works, it works. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But we're cool. We're friends and everything. But, like, yeah. I don't care about that. To be honest, I'm making my music. I don't care about you being my friend, you being my brother. If I don't feel out, I will come down.
So nobody's safe.
Nobody. Like if I do a verse or the song together, whoever it is, and I did not come through, fuck the whole. Oh, is my friend is gonna be pissed. Like be pissed, bro. Like this is music, it's business. No feelings involved. You know what I'm saying? It's not good. Move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chaos did an amazing job. I had it over and over and over again. I was like, yeah. No need to. It's good. So yeah, shout out to Chaos.
No, this is that. I mean, that track it was just, and even the one that comes before it, the Concentrate to sort of the transition from Concentrate to Pimpin'. I thought it flowed so well. It was an amazing way of sort of that. Those track placements was really amazing. And so you all talk about, obviously this is an EP, so. You are talking about how, you know, you're going to have a much larger project, an album possibly come out of this. Is that done? Is it going to be under a similar name? You know, is there, you know, what is that going to look like in terms of the next step or version of this?
Originally, we wanted to put out a whole, like, basically, like, album project together and stuff like that. We wanted to call the project From Ear Owl With Love. Uh-huh. Right? Mainly because of, like, you know, like, because that's how the album was broken down. Like, From Ear Owl, honestly, is like, it's almost like an A side, then With Love is almost like a B side. And we just felt like, as a project, it makes sense together, but the message would kind of like get lost. You know what I mean? And as Bless said, like, people's attention span is like very, you know, it's very short. So we wanted, like, you know, like, so one of the case where, like, we could almost make it like a two-part series, you know. So for the first project, From Ear Owl, like just talking about like where we're from, you know, how we grew up, where is our like, you know, mind space now, like moving forward. Then With Love is almost like I'll say definitely like more of like our, like, you know, softer side, more of a playful side, like, you know what I mean? Like the product as well. Also, like, you know, I feel like, me personally, man, I feel like as a creative, you can't be talking about violence and motivation the entire time. You also have to talk about women, you know, like talk about love, talk about, like, you know, like, you know, like, you know, talk about, like, you know, like, you know, talk about joy, talk about God, if you can, like, you know, like, I mean, like, you know, like, there's so much to talk about. Like, you know, I mean, that just one particular, like, you know, theme. So I feel like that's what this second EP is basically going to like bring, like, for sure. And of course, second EP has definitely, that one definitely has all the records of the ladies.
I still feel Concentrate is also for the ladies, but to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of girls that, like, you know, oh my God, I like that song. I'm like, well, thank you. Like, you know, I kind of expected you to like it, you know, because like swing for, you know, but I just want to make a Concentrate. It has that, you know, it has that vibe that, you know, as a girl, you just want to listen to, you know what I'm saying? And also Pimpin' too, a couple of girls actually fancy it, and that's dope. But like, for me, right, From Ear Owl, it's quite deep to me, man, because like, a lot of things that we felt like could happen if maybe there was a little more attention by, you know, the government or whoever on the area, and like, you know, the things that, the little things, you know, that are supposed to be normal things in life become like, oh my God, luxury, because you're coming from a place where, you know, nothing is there, nothing is being done, nothing is being given, you know. It's just, I wasn't ready for the love part, like the other side. I wasn't ready for it because, like, I like to work with high feel. And for me, that's one of the worst things ever in my life. I have to get better at that. Because, you know, we had a long, almost like a big fight over trying to do, or is it from you know, love, or just from around, or should we take out the clothes and not do nothing at all? Because, you know, like, I was in a place where I was angry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't ready for no sweet thing too much. You know what I'm saying? It could be a little bit in like one or two songs, but I wasn't ready for, I was in war mode in my head. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So like, I wouldn't listen to Be Real With You. At that time, when like when we're putting the EP together, if it was the whole EP, I probably wouldn't listen. I'll probably listen to the first five and I just end it. Because like, I wasn't in that space at that time. So like, if I'm not in the space to do something, if I'm not feeling it for real, and I still put it out because of business, you know, I'm not gonna connect to it, and I don't feel a lot of people will connect to it. I might be wrong. I'm happy to be wrong, but like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Which is not really the best way to work if you're working strictly on how you feel, because you might feel this way today and tomorrow you feel a different way, and the next day you feel a different way. So what are you gonna do with switch? So for me, like, the reason why we didn't put out the whole thing, it's not time, like, you know, perfect time for just to shine it. Like, it has to be that perfect, okay, yes, this is the time, boom. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I felt like this particular one, the timing was right for this five songs for Grumpy Raoul. The timing was right, you know what I'm saying? Because I just left Raoul, like, you know what I'm saying? He's not going to be Raoul, like, you know what I'm saying? But we have a lot of people that we still love from there who are still there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And like, they were so surprised, you know, to hear not just anybody, but the people they know do a song called From Your Own.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You kind of give them a little bit of pride. And that's kind of, you know, for a man, if you don't have your self-esteem and your pride is gone, your own is gone. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you need to have foolish pride, but like, you know, as a man, there's some things, or as a human being, rather, like, there's some things you pride yourself on. You know what I'm saying? You can eat breakfast, you can do this, you can do the little things, you can drink good water, you can go to a good school. You know what I'm saying? Like, this person, you know, is talking about your community. Like, you know what I'm saying? This your community is being talked about in a good light. Because there was a time when there was a whole thing, is you're always close to Ikorodu. So if you know a place called Ikorodu, don't go there.
So I should have just randomly end up in, is it called Ikorodu? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Right.
Ikorodu, yeah, exactly.
I'll make sure to write that one down.
You don't want to end up there. No, you don't. You don't want to end up there.
So, like, a lot of things that happen in Ikorodu, right, they kind of spread out and touches that area. So, like, there's a lot of violence in Ikorodu, right? So there was a time when there was this thing called the Bado Boys. Violence set up, like, gang crime people coming to bust up your house at 2 a.m., you know, scratching everywhere and stuff, and it affected us. You know what I'm saying? And in a way, it kind of made it feel like the boys that were doing it were from Iran.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I know those boys, like, I know the people, like, I'm really in tune with, like, the people, because I had to walk out for streets with my beer leg, back to back, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not driving no car to, like, go here. I'm working on the streets, and these are my people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, it just made me feel some type of way. Like, it's not good, but in a way, you kind of leave them no choice if it's them. You know what I'm saying? There's really no choice of giving these boys to actually do something else, because a lot of them are very creative. They're ready to work. They're ready to do. They're ready to do that. But there's no opportunity to do this or that. Right. So even if it's them, right, which is not good, but I really see that they have no reason. They have no other choice. Like, you know what I'm saying? They have to do what they have to do to survive. And that was a very bad life, and I didn't like it personally, because you can't run away from where you're from. No matter the language you speak, no matter, you know, the type of dress you wear, no matter, you know, where you've been or whatever, you cannot run away from where you're from.
Right.
So that, for me, that's where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, it just made sense. What if the name is something else? I forgot what it was called. But, like, for me, it just made sense, like, because most of the songs were done in Iran. But yeah. And the first idea of the songs, right? Yeah, definitely, we finished in a better studio, boom, boom, boom. But the first raw idea, first things first, like you said, like, we always talked about doing a joint EP. And we had that conversation in Iran. And without, he came back, he still came to my house in Iran. We did some recording, some songs, sometimes I don't really finish most of my songs. I'll probably do like a verse and probably just leave it. Then probably remind me, yes, remember this song? I'll be like, oh yeah, man. And I'll finish it later. So like the initial rough ideas started in Iran. So like, why not just, you know, pick up your people? Like, it's not for me. Like, I'm not there. You know what I'm saying? If the place is good, if the place is bad, it's not going to affect me in any way right now. But it can shine some light to the people that are still there, and they can have some hope and gas up some more. And be like, with these boys that we know, like, we don't just know friends. We know them, know their families. If they can be doing this, and they can say proudly that from this place, you don't even need to say where you're from. You just have to know that you can do it. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's just the energy of fam. Like, why are you playing? Like, you don't need to wait for no government or nobody anymore. You can do it however way you want to do it. Just be reasonable about it and do it properly. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be music. It doesn't have to be fashion. You can create something. You can be a tech guy. You can be, you know, you can be in a different industry and be the best artist. And when they realize where you're from, they're going to go mad because they never expect anything. I mean, diamonds. Where do you find diamonds? You have to everything. Like, where do you find gold? Like, the things that are really precious, you don't just stumble onto them, no?
Right.
You're intentional about it. You're finding it, and you're going through the dirt. You know what I'm saying? So you have to go through the dirt and come out and shine. So we've been through dirt, like, you know what I'm saying? We're not trying to say, oh, we're not gangbanging, nothing. Just the road alone. You can't walk the road walking on mud. When I say mud, I mean real mud. You know what I'm saying? You
go back like red clay type mud and everything. Yeah, the car will get stuck. You have to push the car out of the road. But
the car will get stuck. You have to push it, and the mud is just splashing you. But that's the life. You know what I'm saying? So like, you come from a place like that where, and you're not scared of poverty anymore. You're not scared of, because even if maybe you're not so poor, but you've been around it, you know what I'm saying? It's affected your mentality, even if you think it hasn't. And so, yeah, man, no long talk, man. I just feel that's the main reason why, you know, we decided to just put this, and I said attention span is crazy, so, yeah. Mm.
No, I think that's a beautiful way of sort of even sort of coming to sort of summation of this interview. And I think, you know, listening to you all, it's sort of the idea of all roads kind of lead to Irao, whether you intended to go there or not, but all roads always they always lead back home, right? And I think it's beautiful that you both, being sort of children that were born and raised in that area, I don't know if you're born, but at least raised, that you still are able to pay homage, you know, to sort of what was home for you. And I think that whatever environments we all grow up in, they help to shape the person that we become, right? They help us to inform and give us perspective about the world, about ourselves, and how we relate to others. And even, you know, what we think are our possibilities in terms of what we can achieve and not achieve. And I think that it's inspiration to sort of see what you both have done and how you're using sort of the creative outlet and the creative industry as a way for you to have to put your mark on the world, to put your mark within the Nigerian society and even the global society that is now consuming Nigerian music. And like, it's just drinking water every single day, you know, but I truly appreciate both of you coming on and having this conversation. And I think when we discussed that, you know, one of the reasons why I was born in Tanzania, I grew up in the U.S. And growing up here, there was, you know, I would say the kids nowadays have it easy. They have it easy growing up as an African here in the West. Growing up for me was a bit difficult, right? Because there was so little representation of Africans on mainstream media here in the U.S. On the music side, I mean, it was when you go to the weddings, to the African weddings, that's when you're going to hear, you know, the flavors, you're going to hear all these, you know, all these African songs, you know, all the coupe de Cali, that, you know, you would hear it at the weddings. That was sort of the weddings for an African child growing up in the West was almost like you guys' that Catholic church that you were talking about. That was the spot where you got sort of, you got that inspiration, I guess that creative inspiration, at least. And being able to jump into this work and rediscover more about African music and learn more, a part of it, I feel like I'm learning about myself. I'm able to go back home through these sounds that you are able to create. Even if, you know, you are using Yoruba or using your own Nigerian vernacular and whatnot, I still feel it still pulls me back. It pulls me back home. Just the same way that for you also, the all roads lead back to Irawo. For me, all roads lead back to the motherland. They lead back to the continent. Yeah. And you all's music, in a way, is a vessel for that. It's sort of that transportation, vessel that's taking me from one place back home. And I thank you all for that. And thank you all for having the courage and the bravery to be able to put your art out there, because it's not easy. But the fact that you also believed in yourself to put together this music and this project, I just think it's so amazing and it's so beautiful. And honestly, like, I think you all as African artists, you are doing a lot for a lot of the youth and a lot of the you know, people around the world, especially for us as young African, young Africans in the diaspora who are not home, right? You are able to really give us that feeling of home in a way that growing up we just didn't have. So I just want to big you both up for that, and thank you for sort of the work that you're doing. And you know, everybody, you must stream, listen, share, and post about this project from Irawo, from Toyin Ores and Blacks and Bless, you know, who just pour their heart out on this project, and you can really see it. And so I want to thank both of you for coming on to Afrobeats podcast.
Thank you for having us, man.